Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanant Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. Spirituality and toilets. You know, it's funny, here we are in satsang. People think toilets are poop, you know, our excrement, our... Which is why when Pujya Swamiji first started talking about this, it was revolutionary. People couldn't believe it. Saints and sanitation? Saints and poop? And he started coming up with these brilliant slogans. His mind, it's just he thinks and speaks in poetry, but in very easy to remember alliteration type of rhyming poetry. And so he started saying sanitation and meditation must go together. Spirituality teaches us that we are one. Spirituality teaches us that we're connected. Spirituality teaches us that how I live has an impact on the world. Spirituality teaches us that those over there are actually self. Spirituality expands our consciousness in order to include the world. And what we need is more consciousness. When we are conscious, we live differently. We eat differently. We dress differently. So when I am conscious, the idea of eating a byproduct of violence, meat, would be inconceivable to me. There is no way that I could be fully conscious of my connection with the universe, of my impact upon the universe, of the oneness of me and the universe, and actually choose to engage in an act that wreaks such havoc and harm and violence, not just on the animal I'm eating, but on the entire planet, on our rainforests, on water, on land, on poverty, on hunger, on poor people all over the world, on our natural resources. When I'm conscious, there's no way that I would choose to purchase items, that I would choose to buy clothing, for example, that was made, say, from cotton, that came from a field sprayed with toxic chemicals, that the farmers and their families were getting cancer and dying from, that the farmers' children were dying of birth, were being born with birth defects, the waste of which was running off these cotton fields into our groundwater, into our rivers, polluting our rivers, irrigating the fields of fruits and vegetables and grains that were being eaten by people who then were getting sick, that were being stitched into garments in sweatshops by women and children in third world countries. There's no way that I would go for that kind of shopping. My motto would no longer be more, 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 cheaper, 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 if I were conscious of all of that. In the same way, you raised sanitation, but I just wanted to take it out of just the box for a moment. When I'm conscious, what I realize is that my waste, whether it's the plastic waste that which I purchase comes in, whether it's the waste that which I purchase, the factory that produced it, the waste that factory shoves into the soil and into the water, untreated, or whether it's the waste that comes out of my body. Because all of those are wastes that I produce. My purchase of items that come in plastic is waste that I have produced. I don't only produce poop. I'm producing that plastic waste. I may not have manufactured it, but since I've bought it, it's now due to me. I'm a crucial link in that waste. So that plastic, that packaging it's come in, that factory that produced it, because I want more and more and more, cheaper, 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 so the factory is cutting corners, and its toxic waste, its industrial waste is flowing untreated into the soil, into the water. Or my poop. All of those aspects of my waste, I would be very conscious about them. Now, I can certainly avoid buying things that come in plastic. I can avoid buying things from factories whose waste isn't treated. I cannot avoid pooping. The good news is that my poop does not actually have to harm the environment the way plastic does. There's no good form of plastic. There's less evil forms of plastic, but there's no good form of plastic. My poop actually, if dealt with properly, actually can be fantastic for the world. Dealt with properly, it is a fantastic organic fertilizer. Dealt with properly, it can produce biogas. Pooja Swamiji has got this vision of gas stations that people go to and actually fill their cars up, not with petrol, but with biogas from poop. That the bathrooms at the gas stations actually are producing that which you're filling your car up with. So that's the good news about poop. When you ask what spirituality can do, how can we help? Well, what we do, both theoretically as well as very literally with our Global Interfaith Wash Alliance that's dedicated to this, is change how people think. Expand that consciousness, help people understand that, for example, open defecation, which seems so innocuous, seems so harmless, maybe even it seems very pure and good. I'm pooping in the land. Look, that's great. Here I am, giving, you know, organic matter to the land. But without knowing that actually due to that, our water is getting polluted. Due to that, people are getting sick and dying. But they have to be told. And so what we do is we bring about education and awareness, helping people understand. Helping people understand the link between why your child is too sick to go to school and the fact that you don't actually have a toilet. Helping people understand that link. Changing norms, changing paradigms. This is what spirituality can and should and is doing. Spirituality is also that which people turn to for how to live, what choices to make, what decisions to make. Spirituality is that which dictates. In Hindi, we say pap and punya. Sin and merit. People aren't looking to their, you know, governments to tell them what is sin, what is merit. They're looking to their religious leaders. And so when we can say to them, this is pop. And it's pop because people are getting sick and dying. Oh, okay. They get it, they take it. But people have to be educated. When we first started working for Cleaning Ganga, people said, oh, well, everybody, you know, throws their waste in Ganga because they don't care. And that was way too simplistic because they do care. And what you would see was people would come to Ganga from every corner of the nation, full of bhav, full of devotion, full of love. They'd get here, they'd spend their last rupees buying a bag of flowers for Ganga. But then, as they put the flowers in Ganga, they would throw it in the plastic bag that the flowers came in. And people would say, oh, they don't care. But that wasn't true, because if they didn't care, they wouldn't have bothered to buy the flowers. They would have used the money and gone to a movie instead. Clearly they cared. But what their perspective was, is that Ganga's the divine purifier. Ganga cleans lifetimes of sin. What do you mean she can't handle a plastic bag? And when you would try to stop people, they would look at you like you were sacrilegious. Hare? Ganga is not polluted? Like, who are you for even insinuating this? You are the sinner for thinking that a plastic bag could pollute Ganga. Ganga is the embodiment of purity. Ganga is the goddess. It's like insinuating that somehow putting a plastic bag on your mother would make her any less your divine mother. And so you have to work with education to help people understand Kitika. The pollution is not polluting Ganga. Ganga is unpollutable, undefilable, the divine goddess. But the fish swim into that plastic bag and suffocate and die. The plastic bag washes up downstream. It's eaten by the cows who die. Oh, people say. And then they stop. That waste is being drunk by your sisters and brothers downstream. They are getting sick and dying. Oh. So it's just about a slight change in verbiage, slight change in semantics. But you have to first understand the people, and then you can work with it. And that's what spirituality really does, is understands how are people thinking, and then changes it. And so with regard to the whole poop and sanitation, it's been a revolution. Because suddenly, poop is not something relegated to people of a low caste. Poop is not something to be kept at an arm's length. Poop is not someone else's business. When you've got religious leaders talking about poop, building toilets, suddenly it's normalizing toilets. It's normalizing poop. Suddenly it's not someone else's business. Suddenly it's not for those people. Suddenly it's everybody's business. So we have seen that spirituality has been a fantastically powerful and effective mobilizer of change in the movement. Just unprecedented and really extraordinary. And it's been an exciting blessing to be part of and to watch it happen.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me.
She said, as a teenager, we're distracted. Our minds are distracted to unwanted things and love. And how to bring it back to spirituality. So first of all, anybody here not a teenager? Any of the non-teenagers notice that your mind sometimes gets distracted to unwanted things? I mention that just so you know that this is not an illness of being a teenager. You are not alone here. This is part of the package deal of being human. So don't be too hard on yourself. But the question is fantastic, not only for teenagers, it's fantastic for everyone. How can we take our mind off that which is unwanted and put it on spirituality? Now, you mentioned love, and you lumped it in with these unimportant, unwanted distractions. Now, I understand that when we are young, and even for some people when they're not young, but especially when we're young, the mind tends to be even more preoccupied with what I'm going to call crushes instead of actually love. I know it feels like love. I know it feels like love. In fact, ironically, the love that you feel at your age almost feels stronger even sometimes than love that you feel later. Nonetheless, we're going to call it crushes. Because love is not actually distracting. Love actually is something that fills us and focuses us. When it's a crush, it's distracting. So think of the difference. I'm going to give you two different mental scenarios, okay? Scenario one says, ah, this love feels so beautiful. So beautiful inside me. And I'm doing my math. I'm doing my reading. I'm doing my chores, and I'm so happy to be doing my math and doing my reading and doing my chores because love makes me happy doing whatever I'm doing. And so I'm doing the dishes and I'm happy doing the dishes because I'm in love. And when I go to pray or I go to meditate, it's so beautiful because I'm already full of love. Okay, that's one option. Option two is, oh my God, he looks so cute today. Oh my God, did he just look at me? Did he look at me? I think he looked at me. Did he actually look at me? Oh my God, no. Was it me or was it her? No, it must have been me, right? Do I have a spot on my face? Oh my God, do these clothes are okay, right? How's my hair? Oh God, I should have really looked in the mirror for longer today. My hair must be a mess. Oh, now he's not looking at me. He's looking at her. That's not fair. Look at me. Come on, look at me. Okay? So You see where that gets kind of distracting? Now, you sit down to do math and you think, he looked at me today. Maybe he didn't look at me today. Maybe he was looking at her today. Tomorrow, I'm going to wear my pink blouse. Then he'll have to look at me. That pink blouse looks really good. Oh, no, but I forgot. I got ketchup on my pink blouse. Oh. Okay, so that is what we'll call distracting. You can see where that doesn't go so well with your math homework. Doesn't go so well with reading. Doesn't go so well with doing the dishes. You find yourself scrubbing the same plate over and over again and you forget you're supposed to be scrubbing the plate. Mom comes in and says, Eddie, what are you doing? You go to pray. You go to meditate. And all you can think is, oh, I wish I had that pink blouse. That looked so good on me. Why did my best friend have to spill ketchup on it? I've told her 10,000 times not to eat French fries near me. But she was eating French fries near me and she spilled that ketchup. Oh, I'm going to kill her. I need that. So this is distracting. But we're not going to call that love. You see the difference? Okay. And this is a very important difference because love is very beautiful for life. And so you don't want to consider love a distraction. And here's the beautiful thing with love in general. And I know that this may not be your experience at this age, but don't worry, because as you grow and as you get deeper, especially spiritually, what you'll find is love doesn't actually need an object to love. You can just feel love. You can look at a sunset and feel love. You can look at a flower and feel love. You can close your eyes and feel the sun on you, feel the wind on you, and feel love. That's the love that we actually are looking to cultivate. That's the love that enables us to move through our world much more anchored, much more grounded, as deeply, not just spiritual people, but fulfilled people, joyous people, peaceful people. That is not a distraction. The, oh my God, my pink blouse has ketchup on it, is a distraction. Okay? So, throughout our life, whether we're teenagers or whether we're older, what we have to really ask ourselves is, what is most important for me? Now, you know, or you wouldn't have asked the question in here, you know that that kind of thinking is not really very beneficial for you, that really you want to go more spiritually. What that means is that as you're having those thoughts, you're going to have to stop jumping on them. I always say our thoughts are tickets on vehicles. So if I say to you, okay, guess what? I have for you a first class ticket to misery. Would you take it? But it's first class. Would you take it? Of course not. Would anybody take a first-class ticket to misery? I mean, however cushy the seat might be or the coupe might be, would anybody take a first-class ticket to misery? Because we know, I don't want to go there. But every time that we allow our minds to have thoughts of jealousy, of comparison, of judgment, of unfulfilled expectations, of all of this stuff. These are actually vehicles that are moving toward misery. But we jump on them. We think that's fun, fun ride. Along this whole ride, I get to think badly about this one, gossipy about this one, I get to daydream about this. So it seems like a fun ride. And then we wonder, how did I land up in misery? Well, because I jumped on that train or that bus or that airplane. So this is where now we have to realize, okay, what kind of thoughts am I having? And how can I not have the thoughts that are taking me where I don't want to go? The first step is you recognize them, and you try to recognize them as soon as possible. Not 20 minutes later when you're already kind of far away. But the minute that it starts, and you'll get better at it, it's a habit, it's a practice, you'll get better. The minute the mind will start kind of shifting into its daydreamy mode, or its judgment mode, or its you'll never become anything in your life mode, or your this whole thing is stupid mode, or I hate everybody mode, or life isn't fair mode, or whatever mode you tend to get into. As it starts, you'll recognize it. Long before it has gotten you in its whirlpool, long before you're already drowning. And you'll be able to say, ah, I know where this ends up. I've gotten in this car before. I've gotten on that train before. I always end up miserable. Is bar mein Nebetungi. I'm not going. I can see it. I know where it's going. I'm not getting on. And you can just wave to it. Bye. Let it pass. Give your mind something else to think about. This is the power and the benefit of having a mantra. Of having a prayer. Of thinking about God, is the mind needs something to do. And so if we want it to stop doing what we don't want it to do, we have to give it something else. If you've got a new puppy dog, and it's running everywhere and biting everything and eating everything and peeing everywhere, you can't just say, don't run, don't play, don't bite, don't pee. That's what it does. It's a puppy dog. Instead, over here in this corner, you give it a toy that it likes to play with. You put some newspaper down so it can pee. You put some food. So everything that it wants is all the way over there. And you know now it's going to stay in its corner. It's not about stop being a puppy dog. You're not going to kill the puppy. You just want it to stop peeing on the couch and ruining the couch and biting things and whatnot. So you give it something else to do in some other place. Same thing with the mind. It's not about killing it. It's not about hating it. It's just about saying, Chilo, do it over here. Do this instead. Now the benefit, though, of spiritual thinking, the benefit of a mantra is, unlike your dog that just is peeing in a different place, this actually is going to also change you and transform you inside. It will actually also get you closer to God. So it has two benefits. One benefit is it stops your mind from doing nonsense. Number two benefit, though, is it actually is its own vehicle. And it's a vehicle going exactly where you want to go. So you jump in that instead of the other ones. So whenever something starts, you get that mantra going. But even better is you get the mantra going enough all the time that apni up it starts. And then slowly, slowly, you'll find that the mind doesn't even wander. Because it's doing the mantra.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mike Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. So rather than think about the karma that the drivers of the scooters or the cars or the people making noise are going to get, instead of that, we always try to focus on where is it about me? When we come into satsang, not just here in this room, but in general in our lives, there are so many places our minds can go about what's that one doing, what's this one doing, what that one's doing, how that one's talking, how that one's dressing, how that one's living, what that one's got, what this one. There's no end. And your whole life goes like that. And so this is where spiritually we focus not so much on them, but on my reaction to them. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that I have to pretend they don't exist. It's hard to pretend that a motorcycle driver barreling down the road at 200 miles an hour honking his horn doesn't exist. But instead of focusing on, oh my God, I wonder what kind of karma he's getting, instead of that, we take the opportunity to focus on what it does within us. You know, it's funny, a lot of people come to me and say, I cannot meditate here. India is just too loud. I've gone up into the mountains, I've gone here, I've gone there, wherever you go. It's too loud. And whether it's loud from scooter noise or whether it's loud from big, beautiful spiritual programs that are taking place on loudspeakers and talking and singing, but in languages that people from abroad don't understand. Either way, it's people come and they're always saying, my God, there's just so much noise. And I'll ask them, well, so where are you from? And very frequently the answer is some very quiet place. I'm from Maine. I'm from the, you know, countryside of England. I'm from places in the world that have got, you know, 15 people per square kilometer type of populations. And I always say, now, you came to India looking for quiet? A country with 1.3 billion people in an area that's like a third the size of America? Seriously? Quiet? That's not what you come to India for. If you can't meditate in a place with 15 people per square kilometer, clearly the problem is not the outside noise. The noise that bothers us most, if we're really honest with ourselves, the noise that bothers us most in our meditations is not actually the outside noise, it's the inner noise. Because they sell these great things and they're really cheap, they're called earplugs. They sell headphones, right? I mean, for a couple of dollars, you can actually block out most of the outside noise. But interestingly, earplugs have never become the meditator's magic wand. If the problem were simply the noise outside,
Well, we'd have a world full of enlightened people for like 50 cents a pair. But interestingly, it's not the outside noise. It's the inner noise. And what India gives us is the opportunity to actually experience a noiselessness amidst the noise, a peace amidst the chaos, that if you can find it, if amidst the scooters and the loudspeakers and the bells going at all hours of the day and the night and the people up at all hours of the day and the night and all of the noise, if amidst that you can find noiselessness, you can find peace, then that is yours to take home. That is going back with you. And that's what we come to India for, is to find here in this sacred, holy place, in a place that of all the places in the world, energetically, this is the land, especially Rishikesh, the holy places, that have drawn the saints and the sages for thousands of years. I've never read a scripture that said, pilgrimage to Maine. Gotta get to Maine. The land of enlightenment. It's here. This isn't today. This is thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. This is where people were coming. There is something here. And therefore, when you're here, see if you can find it. And if you think it's impossible, spend some time on a busy road, busy highway, not just scooters, but cars, rickshaws, bullock carts, everything. And watch the cows. Now the cow is not a stupid animal. The cow is actually a very smart animal. Forget that in India she's considered holy. We won't even go there. Let's just call her a very intelligent creature. That cow naps, not just in a room overlooking a busy street, but in the middle of the busy street. Her ears function fine. Her nervous system functions fine. But this cow has the ability. She knows, I'm holy, they're not going to hit me. Talk about bad karma, right? They may not get it for the noise that disturbs your sleep, but they are definitely getting it if they hit a cow, and everyone knows it. So that cow knows, no one is touching me. And in that space of security, knowing that I'm physically safe, she can nap amidst what probably are the loudest roads in the world. And I mention that because, to me, that's why the cow is holy. I know all the other reasons we worship her, but for me, as someone not born a Hindu, not born someone into a family where I was raised with this sense of all of what the cow does and gives us, for me, if I'm going to actually worship a cow more so than I would worship any other animal, it's because she has figured something out. She has attained something that I want. And so when you're here, if you think it's impossible, just watch that cow. And ask yourself, really? I'm that much less than a cow? Possible for her, not for me? What is it she's got that I don't have? It's a great thing to meditate on. and see whether you can find that, even just for a moment, that place of noiselessness, that place of peace, because that's going to go home with you much more than the outer quiet of a physical location. Because you can't take that. But you can take what you find inside.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin, with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip or the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
How do we attain bliss? The scriptures say we only attain bliss when we attain God. And how do we attain God? Only when our mind is clean, pure. But when my mind is full of anger, of greed, of lust, of this, of that, how in the world am I ever going to find God? And therefore, how in the world am I ever going to attain bliss? And what do the scriptures say about where to find God? Where you're supposed to look with that mind? Inside, right, okay. So if God is inside us, in order to find God, we need to look within. Now, what most of us do is we look outside. We're focused outside, even spiritually. We find ourselves focused outside. That course, this certificate, this program, that program. How many places do we need to go that are going to tell us go within before we actually go within? It's sort of an interesting irony, isn't it? I'm gonna go someplace else that I know is going to tell me go within, because the last people also told me within, go within, and the people before that told me go within, and every book I've read says go within. But nonetheless, I need to go to that place because I need to hear it from that person's mouth. Okay, so that's just a very interesting irony. So we know we need to go within. Now, how do I purify my mind so that I can see it? And this is really the dilemma. You know, Pooja Swamiji gives the example of, we're sitting in a dark room, the sun is shining outside, but our curtains are closed, or our window is just very, very dirty and we can't see. Now, sitting in that dark room, we are praying for light, praying for sun. But the sun is there. The only problem is we cannot see it because our curtains are closed and the window is dirty. This is the same thing with that bliss and God. It's there, it's in you, but you cannot see it because of these things of the mind. Right? Okay. What to do with them all? Give them to God. There's two ways to work with all of the problems we have. You can try to address them one by one. Okay, Cello, this week we're going to work on my greed. Okay? There's all sorts of practices you can do. Then you feel okay, but maybe not this week, maybe a month it takes me. However long it takes me, Cello, first I'm going to take greed. Then I feel like, okay, I've overcome greed. Then I'm going to take my lust. Deal with that however long it takes me. Then, okay, I'm going to take up my anger. Much of our life would go. And I'm not even necessarily sure that we would get there. Because slowly, as you find that you're done over here, well, this one starts kind of popping its head up again over here. The only, only way to do it is we surrender to God. We say, okay, God, I've got this. I offer it to you. Take me as I am. You know. You know what I am. You know what I think. You know what I do. I offer it to you. Not that I think it's such a great offering, but you're God. I offer it to you. Right? These are the mantras that we chant. Whatever I think, whatever I speak, and whatever I think includes all of the vasanas. Whatever I do, I offer it to you. This is the only way. Again, Pooja Swamiji says, he says, you know, at the end of the day, in our practice of introspection, you sit with God and you offer it all. The plus points, the minus points, as Manaji says. Okay? So your plus points are going to be, I went to Rishikesh, I joined this program, I'm really, really trying to learn. I came all the way across the river for satsang. I'm meditating, I'm doing yoga. These are what you could consider plus points. I got better. I didn't get angry so many times today. I saw it when it was coming. And then your minus points. But I still got angry a little. But I still had lust. I still had greed. Both of them we offer to God. Take it all and give me the strength tomorrow that I can be freer of it. It's the only way. With that, though, this is where the practice, when we talk about Gyan Yoga, the practice of wisdom. So reading scriptures, listening to spiritual talks, being in satsang, because what it does is, if you look at all of these, take greed, take lust, take anger, all of them come from one false belief. That false belief is, I am an object. And this object is not full. Therefore, I need more. Whether I need more money, whether I need more things, whether I need more fame, whether I need more success. Okay, we're going to call that greed. More, more, more. Give it. Or lust, same thing. I'm an object, you're an object. You can be used in the satisfaction of this object. Lust is object to object. But lust also comes from a sense of right now, I'm not full. If you really look at lust, you think about what is lust? Lust is this contraction of our vision. Love is an expansion of our vision. Think for a moment of being in love, someone you really love, and then think over someone you just lust over. Now, love expands our hearts. Lust does this. Lust is gotta have it, 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 gotta have it. It's a contraction of our vision. Love is an expansion. Okay? So lust is, I'm an object. I'm not full. What I need, you have. I need it, need it, need it. Gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it. That's lust. Okay? Anger. I'm an object. I need something. I'm not getting it. You're not doing it. You're not doing it. The universe isn't doing it. I'm angry. Every one of those cases is rooted in this belief, I'm an object and I'm not full. Need more. Need something. Need this. Need that. Want this. Want that. Which is where, spiritually, when we realize I am full, they dissipate. And this is where that spiritual wisdom is so important to go along with it. Is what's there to be greedy for? Meramito sab kuche? Kya ni? Kya kami hai? What do I actually need that I don't have? There's nothing to be greedy for when you are grounded spiritually. There's nothing to lust for when you're grounded spiritually. Nothing to be angry about. Because you have no agenda with an attachment that someone could fail to live up to and that you're angry about. So we have this gyan also. That's what that's very important for. And jo baki hai, whatever is left, we give it to God. And slowly, 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 you will find it. Just keep looking in.
Offerings, is it what I understand of offering is it a dialogue kind of thing? Offering.
You can offer however you want. Look, when you're deeply connected to someone, even think about being deeply connected to a person, not even God. If I want to offer something, well, I can say, hey, Trish, so I have this piece of paper and I would like to offer it to you. Please take my piece of paper. Or I could just walk over there and give it to her silently. Or I could sit here. She and I are close. I could sit here and I could say, and she'd understand, and eventually she'd come up and take it. So it doesn't matter how you offer. Offer however feels right to you. God understands. With words, no words, doesn't matter. Just offer it. This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week. And I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio. Thank you.